This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Chris Carlin in for Bart and Hahn today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. In just minutes, we will be joined by Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, and of course, host of the Fantasy Focused podcast. Available wherever you get your podcast. He's going to join us for the first hour of the show, and ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum will join us for the second hour. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Before Field joins us here in the next few minutes, I want to spend some time on the baseball and what's going on, not just with the rise of teams like the Yankees, who are looking for 12 in a row as they go out west in a very important series, pivotal, in fact, against the Oakland A's, who are right there challenging for the wild card with the Yankees. But really the fall of a couple of teams, notably the Mets, who have just completely fallen off the planet and have been just lost in every way and are inventing new ways to win, lose. Last night they had that situation with their manager in Luis Rojas after 73 pitches, takes out Taijuan Walker after he got a couple of batters on, brings in Aaron Loop as lefty, goes lefty on lefty, and boom, Brandon Crawford, who's basically the Giants' best overall player, rips a double and beats them. And it's not just about the manager with the Mets. A lot of fans have kind of pushed their anger toward him. This has been a complete team meltdown on their part. I mean, think about the fact that they spent the entire first half in first place in the National League East. And frankly, with as poorly as the Giants and the Phillies and the Braves had played, they should have run away with it. And now they are having it absolutely slip away from them, being seven games back in the division and losing every opportunity. And then what's happened to the Padres, the team that had spent more money than basically everybody, that went out trying to make every move that they can, has now lost 11 of 13 and 18 of 27. And they are on the outside looking in the wild card race in the National League. It was a foregone conclusion that three teams from the National League West were going to be in the postseason. There were going to be two wild card teams, whether it was the Dodgers and the Padres or even the Giants mixed in there. But the Padres have completely faded from any hope in the division, with as well as the Giants have played. But they're 15 out in the division, and if they're hoping to challenge for the wild card, I mean, they have some work to do with the Cincinnati Reds right now sitting in front of them. It is amazing to see not just how some of these teams have played in an exceptionally positive way, but how some other teams have just fallen completely off the table in the second half of the year. And I think back to the trade deadline when the Padres were closing in on Max Scherzer, and it made you think that, geez, they've got a great opportunity here, and the Dodgers then swoop in, steal him and Trey Turner away, give up their top two prospects, and the next thing you know, you are just looking at the Dodgers with all the money that you have spent to try to get better. You're looking up, and it's going to be difficult to find your way into a wild card game, even though you're just a game back. They are looking like a team that has absolutely zero confidence right now. At some point, you break through, right? At some point, you're going to find a way to get out of this funk, because teams always do. That had better come sooner rather than later for the Padres. And for the Mets, it's too late. This stretch, this 13-14-game stretch against the Giants and the Dodgers has completely done them in. And that is no surprise whatsoever. None whatsoever when you look back at how this could go. On the 10-game stretch where they started the road trip and they had the Giants and then the Dodgers, Excuse me, I sneezed. And then came back for the Giants again. You were hoping for 5-5. You were praying for 5-5. You would have even taken 4-6. I mean, the Mets are now 2-11 in their last 13. They have handed it away in every way possible, which makes you believe that there is going to be a true shift in who is running things with the Mets after this season. With a new owner and a president of operations in place who was there because he was thought to be a steadying force to help the owner get the team in the first place, to quell some of the fears of owners around baseball that Steve Cohen was going to come in and go nuts. Well, Sandy, for Steve's purposes, has done his job. He helped get him the team. Now you move forward and there's no reason for him to be there. There's no reason for Luis Rojas to be there, who has not distinguished himself as a manager. And even in a night like last night, you can't fully blame him because he is just doing what the paper says to do, what the binder says to do, and that is make a change with the pitching in the game. Strictly based off of the statistics, having absolutely no feel for what's going on involved in that decision. Because I guarantee you this, there is no way that Rojas made that decision on his own. He is following the marching orders from above. If you want to be a major league manager now, you do two things. You come out and take all the bullets for all the bad publicly. And then you defend your players at every turn. Do not ever criticize them publicly anymore. That's simply what you are paid to do. It's remarkable that you can look at this and see these two teams fall off a cliff with where they both were just a few short weeks ago. Be a part of the Bart and Han Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. It's ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Right now, we welcome in ESPN NFL insider and host of the Fantasy Focus podcast, who joins us from Bristol. It is Field Yates. Field, Chris Carlin, thanks for hanging with us this hour. How you doing?
Chris, I'm doing well, and I felt that. Not going to lie to you, I felt that. That wasn't like a night's worth of frustration being let out.
Oh,
That was a baseball event, right? Because baseball is not about what you do on a given night, right? Baseball players, after a loss themselves, can kind of take it in stride. It's a 162-game season. That was months of baseball frustration let out right there. And I felt you. And all the Mets fans of my life felt you as well. And all the Padres fans of my life, which there are fewer Padres fans in my life because I'm from the Northeast. I know a lot of people from New York. I felt you right there. That was a long time coming, my friend. Get it all out.
I tell you what, I am, and I'm just a baseball fan. I'm not a fan of either team in particular, but that is as frustrating as it gets. Let's get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Field Mac Mania. Mac Jones is all of a sudden a massive star in New England based off of, well, a preseason and a great joint practice against the Giants yesterday. Is this legit, Field? Could he really win the starting job in New England?
Here's what I would say. It's possible that Mac Jones is the starter in week one for the Patriots. I don't think that's going to be the case, and mark that down as August 26th version of the answer. Mm-hmm. That being said, if Mac Jones is the week one starter for the Patriots, it's not going to be because of an isolated moment, not one throw from practice on Wednesday when he was the only quarterback of note for the Patriots against the New York Giants. Because it sounds like, and they're just getting off the field now, today was a come back down to earth moment for Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. It won't be an isolated throw here or there. It won't be one drive in the preseason. It won't be one joint practice. It'll be an accumulation of 4.5 or 5 months of work from the moment he was drafted that proved that he was ready, because it was never a matter of whether he was going to be the starter. It was when he was going to be the starter. He went 15th overall, after all. But the Patriots have been very clear in their stance that Cam is the starter until told otherwise. So do I think some of the stuff that he showed yesterday is real and impressive? Absolutely. Patriots fans should be thrilled right now about the potential of this player to be, I don't want to call anybody the next Tom Brady, but the next 10-year fixture at quarterback for them in New England. At the same, but this is about like 5 or 10 years, right, Chris? This is not about what happens in week one. This is about what happens by the time he reaches a second contract. This is what, you know, Buffalo has right now, and Kansas City has, and other teams around the NFL. So momentum is trending towards Mac Jones, but we are far from the point where I would be, you know, etching him in as the week one starter in New England.
All right. It's such a complex situation on so many fronts. For Cam Newton to not be the starter, let's start there for a second. What does that say to him about his career? He is, Field, I know he went through COVID last year,
yeah,
and that was a problem. Early in the year, he looked really good, but then it fell off later in the year. And we've seen this before with guys who are at a certain point in their career where they can go out and play at a high level for a few games, but they just don't have enough in the tank to do it for an entire season. And that's what it feels like right now for Cam Newton at 32, because he's got an awful lot of miles on that body.
He does. And what it's a reminder of is that eventually Father Time catches up to all quarterbacks, maybe Tom Brady excluded. Rarely is it predictable, though. And oftentimes when it happens, it happens with the snap of the fingers. Cam Newton was atop the football world during the 2015 season. MVP, 50 total touchdowns, playing in the Super Bowl. People thought they would win that Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos. Of course, that did not happen. And a couple of years ago, incidentally, against the Patriots in a preseason game, Cam hurt his foot. And that was when things seemed to change for him. His future in Carolina became murky. And next thing you know, he's not playing for much of that season. And then take it a step further, the next thing you know, he's looking for a job. And last year, Cam Newton was a free agent. I know he chronicled the number of days. I think it was 86 days or something from the moment he was cut by the Panthers until he signed with the Patriots. You know what the market was for Cam Newton besides that? Nothing. Yep. Zilch, nada. He was humbled in a way that I don't think he would have expected 5 years ago. He may have thought to himself, I'm going to be a starter until I'm 38, 39, 40 years old. So in order for him to not be the starter in week one, it tells you that I'm not saying the door is slammed shut on his career as a starting quarterback in the NFL, but that it's going to have to be a very unique situation where a team needs a player with his skill set, because while he could win the Patriots job, and he did, as you mentioned, look very strong the first 2 weeks of last season, this is a player who ultimately in a league where his athleticism is not where it was, where he could dominate with his legs, and his arm last year looked tired and fatigued by about the halfway point of the season, you got to be able to either win from the pocket consistently or be dynamic enough that if you're not winning from the pocket consistently, you can improvise. And Cam right now, I think it's maybe the possibility exists where he no longer fits into either of those buckets.
So for Jones, he's a guy that we've heard that Kyle Shanahan actually wanted when they traded up to 3, and then he got talked out of it. And he ends up in New England, and the relationship that I keep coming back to is what it meant for Saban to be in Belichick's ear about this kind of a guy who can step in and be a terrific player in his system. It's just so hard to wrap my head around the idea of Bill Belichick honestly having a rookie quarterback as his best chance to win, because we know for him it is going to be, especially with all the money they spent this offseason, it is going to be about the best chance to win on any given week.
And that's probably part of the reason why they have consistently said Cam Newton is the guy,
right,
to start the year. And while you're right, it's odd to think of the Patriots with a rookie starting quarterback because it's been so long. You know, 20 years of Tom Brady also skews like basically all streaks and records that other teams have endured or experienced, right? Like, I don't know if every other team in the NFL has started at least one rookie quarterback in the past 20 years, but I'd guess the overwhelming majority of them have. So it's a testament to where I think Mac Jones is. And what I'm not saying Mac is not a rookie. He is, obviously. But Mac's rise to where he was last year was different than many college quarterbacks. As we know, some of these guys are, you know, the coronation begins at the age of 15, 16, 17. I'm not saying this is a negative thing, but we've known about Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence since they were freshmen at high school in the Atlanta area at the same time, right? We knew these players were bound for what they are likely to achieve in the NFL. Mac had to sit behind multiple quarterbacks. Heck, at this time last year, people didn't know if Mac was a certainty, or at least there were some corners that thought Bryce Young might win that Alabama job, another five-star recruit who's unbelievable. So Mac, I think, has a...
He felt like a placeholder.
He certainly did. And, of course, he goes on to throw for 4,500 yards and complete 78% of his passes. He's a mature rookie. Not that the other guys lack maturity, but Mac has a different mentality, I think, because of how he got to where he is at right now, that I think allows him to maybe escalate the timeline in New England faster than many would have anticipated when they drafted him 15th overall.
We'll flip to the other side of this joint practice, Daniel Jones. I'm really concerned. I'm on the Daniel Jones bandwagon. I believe he can be a really good quarterback in this league, and he finally has weapons to work with. The problem is those weapons aren't on the field right now, and he's not building the rapport with Kadarius Toney and with Kenny Galladay that he needs to. So, Field, I'm wondering if Jones is actually capable of being not just a quarterback in the league in a good one, but somebody that's going to elevate other players when things are not necessarily going right. Still doesn't have the best offensive line, and he is somebody that a big part of his arsenal is being able to make plays on the run.
Let me tell you this. He might be the quarterback that has as much of a make-or-break a season ahead of him as any in the NFL.
I agree.
You could make the case for Jameis Winston as well, perhaps Sam Darnold, but the Panthers picked up Sam's option for next year. Where, like, if I don't care if Sam's the worst quarterback in the NFL this year, he's got $20 million or close to it guaranteed in 2022. Daniel Jones, if he cements his status as a quarterback that can do what you just described, elevate those around him and be a consistent player and not turn the football over and lead to winning games consistently, to use that word once more, he could not only affirm he's the quarterback of the future for the Giants, he's extension eligible after this year, and I have been thinking about this since the night of this past year's draft. The Giants are already equipped with an extra first-round pick next year.
Yep.
If Daniel Jones doesn't play well, this team probably isn't very good. And if they're not very good, and they also own the Bears pick next year, then people are going to be talking about next offseason whether the Giants are a team primed to move up in the draft order to take one of the quarterbacks that's going to declare for next year's draft. Now, it's always said at this time of the year, it's not that strong of a draft class, but as we were just discussing with Mac Jones, who was talking about Mac Jones as a first-round pick at this time last year, they're going to be good players available. So I don't want to spin, I don't want to press fast forward on life all the way to April of 2022 just yet, but I think it's impossible to not think about there's a shadow hovering over Daniel Jones this year. If he plays great, future's super bright for him in New York. If he doesn't, you better expect that by week 10, 11, 12, especially in New York, people are going to be talking about that. Is this guy on borrowed time?
Yeah, look, I know he was banged up last year, but there looked like there was a regression.
Yeah.
And the fumbles are still an issue.
Too many turnovers.
Yeah, they're not the same that they were 2 years ago, but they're still an issue. And it's got to get cleaned up from his standpoint. And the door is wide open for the Giants to win this division.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the Cowboys, even though they're the favorites. I know how good the Washington football team defense is. I don't believe in the Eagles quite yet, although I think Jalen Hurts is better than people are giving him credit for. It's right there to be taken if he plays well.
It is. It's funny. It's probably the only division in the NFL where every fan base right now is sort of talking itself into winning the division.
Yeah.
Maybe the NFC West is like that as well because there are four teams that have playoff aspirations. But it feels like this division, more than any other, is the one in the NFC East where Cowboys fans think they have the best offense and they're going to just run away with it because of points. Washington says we have the best defense and we're just going to, you know, we may have to win games 24-17, but we can do that. The Giants feel like the way they finished off last year, the fact that they kind of wish they were playing in the playoffs because of what happened in Week 17 with the Eagles resting their starters. And then even the Eagles are like, hey, I get it. You know, we finished fourth last year, but still, we've got a young quarterback that could be good. We got a veteran mix. It is the division that feels most open this year in the NFL. The Giants should, without question, be feeling internally like they've got a shot to be the clear-cut best team in this division. Now, others will feel that way as well, but the Giants have playoffs within their grasp this year.
This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Chris Carlin, Field Yates in for Barton Hahn today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Field's going to be with us for the first hour. We have got to get to some fantasy stuff because I got a draft this weekend. I'm going over stuff last night, and I have got questions about guys that I have no idea how to treat them. Coming in, a guy like Saquon Barkley, for instance. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Looking forward to it. He is, of course, NFL insider Field Yates, in addition to the host of the Fantasy Focus podcast. I'm Chris Carlin. This is Barton Hahn coming to you live from the Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. And opening day is just a little more than a couple of weeks away. In fact, it is 2 weeks away. So what are the top stories, the top questions around this league that still need answers? We'll talk to Field about that in just a moment after we tell you about our friends from DoorDash with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. You need a nightcap, $10 off. You got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Well, then send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free. Get special savings, exclusive menu items, $0 delivery fees year round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app and stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Oh, the DraftKings app. Use code BART to get a free shot at millions of dollars. Up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Chris Carlin, Field Yates in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've had a lot of Cam calls over the last day or two. What rookie quarterback should start and which ones shouldn't? Lines are open. Hit us up now on the Dr. Pepper call-in lines at 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's talk about some of the other quarterback situations because this is always the big story, right? So when you look at Chicago, is it a no-brainer that Justin Fields should play right away, or is this let's play the caretaker for a couple of weeks before we throw the rookie into the fire, especially with a not great offensive line?
Yeah, Chris, I might surprise you in saying this, but having spent the past weekend in Chicago and around people that know the situation well, I don't think it's a no-brainer that Justin Fields starts in week one. And Andy Dalton is a player who last year was not great filling in for Dak Prescott. He's accomplished a decent amount, though, in the NFL. If you look at where his career started, what he was able to help the Bengals do, he's a serviceable NFL quarterback. Not a star, not a superstar, but also not a player that any rookie quarterback who just shows up is going to instantly beat out. And I think part of what the Bears are evaluating, and what every team is going to evaluate when they have a young quarterback especially, is there more harm that can be done playing a young quarterback early and positive that can be gained? Their schedule at the beginning of the season opens up with a team, the Los Angeles Rams, that might present the single scariest player in the NFL in Aaron Donald, and a very good defense, as we know. I mean, a defense that was the strength of their team last year. It was the best in the NFL, and it wasn't close. I also think that while Justin Fields has had flash moments in the preseason, he looked good in a couple of different drives during preseason games. Day in and day out, maybe on average he's been better than Andy Dalton, but I don't think this is one of those where it's a runaway win, right? And part of why that matters is that when Matt Nagy is talking about culture and sort of catering, not catering to, but being truthful to his locker room, when you spend the entire offseason saying that Andy's the guy, he, as we all probably recall, notably told Chris Collinsworth, I don't see any circumstance under which Andy Dalton is not the starting quarterback in week one. Like, having the trust of your players is an important part of this. Do I think Justin Fields is going to be an awesome player? Yes. Do I think there is there a chance and even some logic behind starting with Andy Dalton? I do. The leash should be short. Make no mistake about that. This is one of those where if it's terrible in week one, like, I'm ready to pull the trigger already on him. But I also get, having spent some time around it this past weekend, what the mentality seems to be right now in Chicago.
And I'm with you. Everybody seems to think it's a no-brainer, and I'm with you. I don't. I would start Andy Dalton just to begin the year because, Field, I've always been, I'd rather start a guy a day later than a day early because you don't know what can happen in a day early. You throw a guy out there in a bad situation and it can affect him for a little while. And I don't want to do that. And that is also why I look at a place like Jacksonville and I get it. It's you have to start Trevor Lawrence because he was the number one overall pick, but it's not that I worry about him mentally. I worry about him physically because, again, same problem. That line is not very good. And while I would start him right away, if I'm Urban Meyer, I'm keeping a very close eye on how many hits he has taken early in the season. And I can always use that excuse of, we're just going to have him sit back and watch from the sideline and get a better feel for a while, when in actuality, it's about not just getting his tail kicked in.
Yeah, and the Monday night game this past week was a little bit scary for Jaguars fans, I would say. Worth noting that three of their best five offensive linemen were not available or they were not playing against the Saints. So that's not the same offensive line he'll be behind throughout, I would think, this regular season, absent injuries. Trevor's a tough one. Like, to ever make the case against, though, as you said, you know, like, you have to play him. I think the most important thing for the Jaguars this year, though, and this sort of builds off your point, is the development of Trevor Lawrence. That's obvious. Like, me telling you that is nothing you don't know. But the Jaguars better figure out exactly what they need around Trevor Lawrence this year, because they're going to have the resources to acquire players, plenty of money still in free agency, and they're going to have draft capital still. And probably a pretty reasonable first-round pick this upcoming year. I don't want them to be the second coming of the early Andrew Luck Colts, where the Colts won games in spite of their own roster building.
Right.
Andrew Luck was marvelous pretty much from the beginning of his NFL career. I mean, he was incredible. But who was looking at that roster, especially that offensive line, for multiple years and saying,
yep,
nice job with the way you guys constructed that roster around a prodigy quarterback. Don't be the Colts again. Now, they have to build a roster. You have to identify what needs to be fixed this offseason.
Before we get to some fantasy questions, one last one here on the quarterbacks. Trey Lance can't play early. I can't do that in San Francisco. Garoppolo, you can win games with. They are equipped to win now. And Trey Lance just hasn't played enough football for me to put him out there early? Where do you come down on that?
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. And if you saw Jimmy Garoppolo's question and answer session with the media yesterday, it certainly suggests that he knows what's happening, right?
Yeah.
One thing I will say.
He looked very happy about it.
Yes, he did. He looked very happy about it. He was asked whether he knows what the decision is. He suggested yes. He was also asked whether he's happy about it. He also suggested yes. One thing that applies to San Francisco and Chicago and to a degree New England is that when you have a veteran quarterback that's accomplished enough to at least have a competition, if you go to the rookie first, that veteran's going to be sitting there breathing down the rookie's neck. If they start Trey Lance first, and Trey has one or two or three games at the beginning of his career where he's looking like a rookie, the murmurs are going to turn into chants. They're going to be calling for Jimmy Garoppolo to get the season back on track.
And that's not what you want with
a rookie. Don't want that. But if you go the inverse order, if you start with a veteran and Jimmy doesn't do enough to be great in the beginning of the season, you can easily turn to the rookie. And at that point, people aren't going to be clamoring for the veteran to come back. But if you start the rookie right away, the toothpaste is immediately out of the tube and you can't put it back in. If he's not good, you can't go to the veteran, because if you go to the veteran, it's almost like saying, did we screw this up? Always, always easier for coaches to start with the veteran and eventually hand it off to the rookie.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Field Yates with us. Fantasy advice next. He hosts the Fantasy Focus podcast, I Need Help. And I'm guessing a lot of people do, too, as their drafts approach. Field Yates with us for another segment. He tells you who you need to avoid and who you need to take. Next, it's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
Chris Carlin, Field Yates for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Field joining us for this first hour, NFL insider and host of the Fantasy Focus podcast. Be a part of Bart and Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Field, we know who the best players are in fantasy football, okay? We all know who we should be drafting if we've got the top 3, 4, and 5 picks. I want to tailor this a little bit differently because I am the king of being stuck in that 12th pick year in and year out. And it is the bottom of the barrel of the top, well, not bottom of the barrel, but you know what I mean. You don't get a top running back there. And then you're always left with that dreaded decision. Do I take two great wide receivers and then try to make do later on? Or do I have to take a running back there? What is your strategy when you're at that end of the first round in that snake draft?
First of all, there are two ways to end up at the end of the first round. One is you win your league and they go in reverse standings.
No, I just have it when it's the random thing and I get screwed.
Number two is the draft randomizer, the lottery, if you will. Yes. You just get screwed, which you're referring. So,
yes.
Let me just start by a very simple truth. And, Chris, this is not something that you haven't heard a million times before or anybody playing fantasy football isn't aware of. But at the end of the day, you got to start with value as your mindset. Whatever the value play is, do that in your draft, because the team that you draft is so far different from what the team is going to be by the midpoint of the season and certainly by the end of the season. So in a perfect world, and that's rarely the case in fantasy football, but when it is, I want to leave the first two rounds with at least one running back. That's my goal. That's my preference because, as you know, the running backs you can count on, the pile, it's not like this.
Yeah.
And I'm escalating all the way to the roof for those that aren't watching on ESPN Plus right now, right? Mm-hmm. It's a short stack. It's 15 guys maybe this year. So if you walk away and you those first two rounds are behind you and you've got two wide receivers, that's fine because they're going to be really good players for you, Devontae Adams and maybe a Stephon Diggs. Problem is you might be starting a running back. He doesn't even start his own team. Okay. So if you're picking at 12, some of the targets that I like this year amongst the running backs, Austin Eckler, really, really good player for the Los Angeles Chargers. Obviously, you know that much. There's a chance, as he has told our own Adam Schefter on his podcast, that his role could mimic the Alvin Kamara role in New Orleans because Joe Lombardi, the new Chargers offensive coordinator, is formerly with the Saints, a quarterback's coach there. Another one is Jonathan Taylor, Colts running back, who just is an absolute freight train, ran for nearly 250 yards in Week 17 of last year, finished fourth in the NFL in rushing. Another good example of a running back target right there. A player like Aaron Jones from the Green Bay Packers, who I think is just solid football player, finds the end zone frequently. Packers are going to score a ton of touchdowns this year. Any of those three are guys that I'm consistently seeing going around pick 12. I think are very, very good values at that point.
Are those guys, for specifically a guy like Eckler, do you treat him that way if it's only a PPR league?
Yeah, I mean, I would say in a non-PPR league, Eckler especially, his value dips because right. and Taylor's goes up because he's got the least passing game involvement, at least he did last year. I play in so many PPR leagues now. I think I play in one non-PPR league anymore that my brain is so triggered to think PPR first. But yes, in a league where
everybody is.
Yeah.
I'm in one that's an antiquated league.
Yeah. Where it's, the good old days, you know? We used to play non-PPR. Back when I grew up, we used to play non-PPR back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the times have changed. So ESPN's default scoring settings now are non-PPR. Or excuse me, are PPR. So if you play in ESPN, you sign up for a league, mm-hmm. and you don't touch a thing, you have a PPR setting as your default.
And if you haven't gotten the ESPN Fantasy app, you are missing out running your league there. Field Yates joining us right now, host of the Fantasy Focus podcast. How do I treat Saquon Barkley this year, Field?
He might be a guy that you see at pick 12.
Yeah.
And I just think it's going to be a matter of tolerance and risk and how do you play. And what I often tell people is that it's really hard to win your league in the first round of your draft. You can often lose your league in the first round of the draft. But in fantasy, you don't get points for finishing like third or fourth place, right? So I think anywhere after pick six, I'm comfortable with Saquon Barkley. And really at pick six, to be honest with you, I'd be comfortable with him. I get it. ACL has been a significant concern this offseason. He's not quite back to 100%. He's just doing minimal reps right now in training camp. And the Giants and Saquon and everybody involved has said, we hope for week one, but no guarantees.
Field, we got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, round out the thought, though.
Give me.
I think the upside for Saquon is so significant that if you get him after pick six, the chance for value is there.
Okay, so give me three guys in the next 20 seconds who scare the daylights out of you in the top four rounds if you're stuck in a position of having to draft them or not.
Saquon makes me a little bit nervous. That much is for sure. I'm trying to think of the player. Any quarterback you take in the first four rounds scares me because the value is just not there relative to other positions. And then I'm trying to think of a wide receiver that scares me a little bit. Kenny Galladay, who I think probably isn't going to the fourth round, but he's a guy that scares me because of the quarterback play in New York, as we talked about earlier on the show.
Awesome stuff, Field. Thanks for popping on with us this hour. Field Yates, of course, ESPN NFL insider and host of the Fantasy Focus podcast. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider, joins us next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.